Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the February 2022 online Midwinter Home Education Conference.
My name is Cassandra Smith, or Cassie. Either one is fine. This class is called Increasing Mindfulness, Intention, and Productivity Through Bullet Journaling. So I have a question, and you can type this in the chat if you want to, or unmute if you want. Either one's fine. How do you currently keep track of everything that you need to do or want to remember? What are you currently using to do that stuff? Sticky notes, okay? Is that like sticky notes like all over the house or on your computer? Where do you put the sticky notes?
Right here. I have like this side of my bookshelf. So I just stick all my sticky notes right here in my office on this board.
Tina says she emails herself and tell my kids if they need anything from me, they should email me too. Google Calendar, digital notepad, phone calendar, text, and email myself. Oh, that's really funny that everybody, like, well, not everybody, some people email, okay. A journal. Just started bullet journaling 6 months ago. I wanted to do it better though. Okay, great. I'm so glad to hear that. Okay, so you guys mentioned the ones I was thinking of. So calendar, either on your phone or paper one, handwritten papers or sticky notes, to-do lists and things, a journal, maybe your mom, if you're a youth watching this class, your mom tells you what to do all the time. Or maybe you don't have a system and that's why you're taking this class. So is your method working for you? Or is there something that you feel like it's lacking? Yes, I get stuff done, but it feels busy and crazy sometimes. Yes, mostly as long as I'm in my office. Okay, so if you're out of the house, then you might be out of luck. And pretty well, it's working for one of our participants. For the most part, tasks get done, but I'd like more mindfulness and purpose. Great. Okay, hopefully we can find ways to do that. So maybe it's working for you. Maybe it's not. If there's like too many things going on, you might be overwhelmed. Like I used to have a calendar in one book, and then I had my journal, and then I had my phone, and it was like all these different places, and it was really hard for me to keep track of everything. And somebody else in the chat says, I want more automatizing of my day and life. Okay, great. So let's see. So what this class is going to suggest is that bullet journaling can help increase mindfulness, intention, productivity, and I added a couple of bonuses, joy and gratitude, because I really feel like it does help me to feel more sane and happy when I use this particular method. Oh, okay. Danae says, I need help with running a task list week to week. Tips on the homeschool planning portion too. Okay, great. I hope we can cover some of this for you today. So what is a bullet journal? If you haven't heard before what a bullet journal is, it is a calendar and a to-do list and a journal or diary and a habit tracker, and a place for your favorite quotes, and a gratitude journal, and a book list, or it doesn't have to be any of those things. It can be whatever you need it to be. It's all in one. It's your commonplace book. So whatever you need your bullet journal to be, that's what it is. So during this presentation, I'm hoping to cover the basics of the different symbols that are commonly used, the index and page numbers, different spreads that you commonly use for the actual journaling and how the method works, the whole process. We'll talk about some customizable pages that maybe you can use for your homeschooling, maybe getting artistic, and different tools for success. And then hopefully we'll have some time for Q&A at the end. Okay, so the ideas in this class come from Ryder Carroll's method of bullet journaling, and it's kind of fully laid out in this book called The Bullet Journal Method. I also got some ideas from Rachel Wilkerson Miller's book, Dot Journaling, A Practical Guide. So, and she has a lot of really great spread ideas in there, more than what I'm going to cover in this class. So I recommend both of these books if you are curious about diving deeper. bullets and circles and dashes. Oh my. Okay. So these are the common symbols that are used in bullet journaling and their meanings. The most basic one is the dot or the bullet, whatever you want to call it. It's this little circle thing that is indicating a task that is not yet completed. Then as a task is completed, we cross out the bullet with an X and it's just marked as done. It's instead of a box with checks, we have bullets and X's. Then we have this greater than symbol where you migrate a task to the next day if you didn't get it done on the day that you intended to get it done. And we have a less than symbol that indicates something that you're kind of planning for. Maybe you're not going to do it today, but you know it needs to be done in the future. So you write it down with a less than symbol like that. If a task is no longer relevant, then you just cross it off for whatever reason. It's either no longer important to you or it just doesn't matter anymore. You just cross it off with just a simple straight line. We also have dashes to indicate notes, open circles to indicate events or appointments. Stars can mark things that are of priority and you need to make sure they get done first. You can mark inspiration with an exclamation point. Some people use an I. Some people, like I started using a little gem thing and I it's like a diamond and then I do little lines off the top of it. But anyway, you can make up your own key. This is just the basics that Ryder Carroll kind of explains. And like I said, you can kind of make up your own. So I decided to use a box to indicate what I'm planning for the meal for that day. So that's the symbol that I created for my meal planning. So those are the basic symbols. Then we have something called the index. And the index is super helpful for when you want to go back later and reference or find something that you had written down in your journal before and you don't remember where it is. Now, this is only helpful if you actually have page numbers in your journal. And so some journals will have the page numbers already pre-printed. Some will not. And so if they're not, you have to just handwrite them in. It's kind of a pain, but it's not the end of the world. You can do it all at once at the beginning, or you can just do it as you fill in the book. But anything that you add to your book that you want to be able to reference later goes in the index. Now, the location of the index is totally up to you. It can be at the very front of the book, like Ryder Carroll suggests. It could be at the end of the book. It could be even in the middle of the book if you need to. But I would maybe make a note at the beginning of the book what page number you put it on so that you can find it easily. So yeah, location, most people have it at the beginning. And again, anytime you add something to your book, add it to the index with its page number. The next spread is generally going to be what is called the future log. And this is just a quick two-page spread of about 6 months worth of events or tasks or whatever. You can kind of plan it out based on, you know, the season that it's in or birthdays that you know are coming up or things that happen every year. At that time of the year, you can make sure you plug it in there right away. It's just nice to be able to kind of see a bigger chunk of time at a glance and also help to plan ahead for the other things that you're doing later. I also will go back and add to this as I add to my other spreads that I'll show you in a minute so that when I go back to look at my journal again, I can see everything that happened in a short or in a quick space, like a small space. So yeah, it's a living book for sure. You're going back and adding to it in different places all the time. This is the future log, 6 month spread. You can show some tasks, you can show some events that are happening. So then the next spread you would do is a monthly log. So on the left side of the page, you do your month. And down the side of the page, you do every calendar day. So in January, there's 31 days. We'd go all the way down to 31. And then right next to that, you'd write the days, like the first letter of the day of the week that that day is on. So this is meant to be a quick thing that you don't have to write out everything word for word and spell everything. It's meant to be quick. And then you can write anything that's different happening on those days on that event page. I don't write things like if I have a homeschool group that I go to every week, I'm not going to write that every Friday because that's what I'm going to do. I only put things that are different for that particular month, not part of the day-to-day stuff. Then on the right side of the spread is where we put all of our tasks that we're hoping to accomplish that month that are kind of out of the ordinary. So I'm not going to say I need to take out the laundry every day and I'm going to, or do the laundry every day and then do the trash, whatever. You're not going to write all the nitty gritty, just the stuff that's specific to that month or the things that you really want to accomplish that month that are out of the ordinary. So that's the monthly log. Then this is where the real magic happens. It's the daily log or the rapid logging is what it's sometimes referred to also. So this is kind of showing a two-page spread right now. And I'm going to kind of talk through what it might look like as you're using the symbols and using this on a daily basis. You begin with the date. And if you want to write an abbreviated version of just the way it's showing here, you can, or if you want to fully write out Thursday, February 17th, 2022, you can certainly write that all out too. It's up to you. But essentially start with the date. And then you can put down any appointments that you have for the day, any tasks that you want to accomplish for the day. And then as you are working through the day, you're constantly going back to this page and referring back to it so that you make sure that you're doing the things that you said you wanted to do. So as you get things completed, you mark them with an X. I got those things done, so I put an X on there. I ran out of time to get the tuition paid, so I'm going to move that to the next day. So the next day, I start out again with the date, put down that thing that I moved from the previous day, and also mark what else I have planned for the day or other tasks that I need to do. Turned out, though, it snowed that day, which meant that church activities were canceled that night. And so I didn't actually need to drive the carpool. So I crossed that off. It's no longer relevant. So that one is done. I go ahead and pay my tuition. And since I didn't have to drive to the church, I make plans for what I want to do tomorrow. Okay, again, these are different arrow signs to indicate something I'm planning for or something that got moved like on that first day. So the next day, I put the date, put those things down that I had planned ahead to do. And as I get them done, I mark them done, make notes of all those seeds that I wanted to get after I picked up that catalog and make a plan to order seeds. But then I also wanted to share this really cool thing that happened during the day. So I start journaling a little bit and tell my whole story. It goes on to the next page. And then the daily log just picks up again in the next blank space. Okay, so that's kind of what the everyday can look like. Now, I just want to touch briefly on the journaling part of this. Some people may or may not like the idea of mixing their calendar with their journaling in the same book. You certainly can like have, you know, the first half of the book is for the calendaring and the planning, and the second half of the book is just for journaling, and you just mark in your index where those sections are. Or you could have two separate books. It's totally up to you how you want to do this. I personally like having it all together because it kind of shows my thought process as I go throughout my day. So I just want to share a few words. These are from some ancient prophets regarding journaling. In Abraham, chapter 1, verse 31, it says, I shall endeavor to write some of these things upon this record for the benefit of my posterity that shall come after me. And then in 2 Nephi 25, 26, we read, and we talk of Christ. We rejoice in Christ. We preach of Christ. We prophesy of Christ. And we write according to our prophecies that our children may know to what source they may look for remission of their sins. And of course, we wouldn't have any scriptures at all if they hadn't been written down to begin with. And I have a firm belief that what we write can also be sort of scripture, especially if we write things of the Spirit. So I highly, highly encourage you at least write down those things. And a few words from more modern prophets and leaders about journaling. This is from Milton Camargo, from October 2020. And he was talking about receiving revelation. He said, we pay attention to thoughts and feelings that come to our minds and hearts, and we write them down, as our prophet has counseled us to do. Recording our impressions is an important part of receiving. It helps us recall, review, and refeel what the Lord is teaching us. I can't tell you how many times I have gone back to my journals. And by the way, all my past journals are right here. This is the one I got when I was 12. I don't know if you can see it in the picture, but from the time I got my first journal when I was a beehive. Yes, the beehives were a thing. And then all the way up. So those are all my journals. I often go back and reflect on the things that have been written, that I have written about spiritual experiences and things and revelations that I've received. And then finally, from President Wilford Woodruff from 1856, he actually wrote this in his own journal. He said, keep an account of the dealings of God with you daily. I have written all the blessings I have received, and I would not take gold for them. Now, I have a story I want to share, a couple stories. First, there was one time when my husband and I moved, and we decided, I don't know why we did this, we moved from Utah to the East Coast in Virginia. And what we did with this move, instead of packing everything in the truck and driving across the country, we shipped all of our stuff to the East Coast and flew over there instead. But the funny thing about this, and the sad thing about this too, is that for some reason, some of the boxes got lost. And in one of the boxes in particular, it was my spiritual journal that I had taken notes all through seminary and different youth conferences I had gone to. So I had a separate journal that I was using for my spiritual experiences and then just my daily stuff. That box got lost and I lost that journal, and it like still breaks my heart a little bit. Yeah, so that's story number one. The second story I have is actually in regards to the fires that just happened in Colorado. So I live in Colorado, and when the fire started on December 30th, it was spreading pretty fast, and I was actually not even home at the time. I was actually on the East Coast at the time, and I had my neighbors like texting me and trying to make sure that we were okay and things. So like our neighborhood was like on an evacuation notice, and it caused me to reflect, like, yeah, I would be bummed to lose my house. And thankfully we are safe. But I was like, if everything burned to the ground, is there anything that I wish I would have saved, or is there anything I would be sad to have lost? And the only thing I could think of was my journals, because they are irreplaceable. Everything else in my house I could buy again, but my journals. So that was like a reflection moment for me. I do have a dear friend though, whose house did burn down. She's actually my friend who introduced me to bullet journaling to begin with. So she actually was able to save her journals, and she's so, so glad that she did. So journaling, not just bullet journaling, but just writing down your thoughts, is just so, so important to get that down and to preserve it somehow. So I'm also thinking about maybe like trying to digitize the journals that I have so that I can always have them. So anyway, just quick little stories there. All right, so the customizable pages. So we talked about the basics and the journaling. So after that, it's pretty much up to you how you use the journal. I mean, all of it's up to you, but whatever you add is sky's the limit pretty much. So there's different lists or collections that you could have, like a gratitude list, or you could have a favorite things list, or a book list, either books that you want to read or books that you have already read and want to keep track of. Any inspirational quotes, wins, like, oh, today was great because blah, 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 or I did this amazing thing and it was super successful. Maybe if you travel a lot or go camping a lot, you might want to have a packing list that you can always refer to, or a shopping list of your essentials that you're always buying. And in that book that I mentioned, the that journaling one by Rachel Wilkerson Miller, she has some great spread ideas on how to do shopping lists and some of these other packing lists and travel lists and things. So I again recommend checking out that book. So here is an example of what maybe you could do either for a student. If a student is watching this, a child or teenager wants to make a plan, you know, they've got the same subjects that they're covering week to week, and then they can put out the days of the week that they're working on it and plug in all the assignments that they have to do throughout the week. This could also work, you know, as the homeschool mom, what lessons you want to cover in what subjects on which day. And you can lay it out however you want. This is just an example of something that you could do. So let's say you make this spread, you add it to your index, marking the page numbers, and then you can keep adding things after it as well. Here's another sample customizable page. This is like a habit tracker. Maybe somebody wants to track their sleep schedule. And so they shade in the boxes at the hours that they were actually in bed or asleep. And I've seen different variations of a similar habit tracker. So again, there's lots of different styles, but these are just a few examples. Here's another sample habit tracker. Maybe you have all these different goals of things that you're trying to do to keep healthy in body and spirit, and you can mark them however you want. Smiley face, star, check, whatever. I like the smiley face, it makes me happy, so I did that. I do want to reference the Atomic Habits book right here real quick by James Clear. I highly recommend that one if you haven't read it yet. I recall in his book, he mentions trying to keep the streak alive. So like missing one day is okay. Like you can forgive yourself, but try not to miss 2 days in a row as you're trying to develop new habits and things. So anyway, we'll shout out there for James Clear and his book, Atomic Habits. This one I really liked. I saw this idea in the Miller book, Dot Journaling, A Practical Guide. So I recently have been like revamping the chore system in my house. And this one I really liked. I might try this one or a variation of it, but those chores that are like not done on a regular basis, like every day or every week, but maybe like every month or however often, but you're like, I don't remember the last time I did that. Well, here you can put it down. So last time I changed my sheets, last time I got an oil change, last time I replaced a filter, and you just fill in the date of the last time that you did that. So when you look at that page, you can see if it's been a while or not. You're like, yeah, time to do that. And then you can add it to your planning to get those things done also. And there's way, way more creative or more customizable pages that you can do. And you can certainly search online for ideas, but I do want to caution you guys, because if you go to Pinterest and do a search for bullet journaling ideas, you're going to get something that looks like this, and it's going to be super overwhelming, especially if you're just starting out, because this is people who are using bullet journaling as like a creative outlet. And that's totally fine if that's what you want to do, if you are a creative person and want to be really artistic with it. But just want you to be aware that if you try to search for bullet journaling ideas on Pinterest, it might be hard to sift through and try to find what you're looking for to keep it simple. But if you want a creative outlet, there you go. You can certainly do that. So there's that. Lots of ideas available to you. All right. So now this brings us back to like the whole purpose of bullet journaling. Like, how is this method going to help me become more mindful? Well, for me, it's caused me to have regular reflection. Like, I'm constantly looking at it throughout the day. I have it right next to me right here too, by the way. I keep it with me all the time. So you have to think to yourself every time you're writing something down, like, is this important? Like, if it's important, then it's worth writing again. That helps you to like prioritize things. You're like, this, I really want to do this, and I keep not getting it done. The more you write it, the more you remember that it's important to you. And the actual act of writing things down will help you to remember them better. So there's that. And then how will it help you become more intentional? Well, it helps you to keep your priorities straight again, like as you're writing things down, we've become less distracted by Facebook or Instagram or our children fighting, whatever. I mean, children are going to fight, but my point is like, if you have this book that you're reflecting back on, you're reminding yourself of what was important to you and what you want to make sure you accomplished. So it helps you to keep your priorities straight. Also, and I learned this at the online conference last year, that to give honest yeses instead of just saying yes to everything without really being able to be honest about it. And I say that because, so I used to have this habit of saying yes to everything that I was like, oh yeah, I have the ability to do that. I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. And then I say yes to everything. And then I get burnt out and I wonder why. It's because I'm not like allowing myself to breathe and I say yes to too many things. So trying to teach myself to say no more often and learning to give honest yeses has been a huge thing for me this past year. And I actually came up with a method for myself to kind of like sift through opportunities. So like, let's say I'm presented with something, somebody's asking me to do something. Well, then I have to ask myself three questions. The first question is, do I want or need to do this thing? The second question is, do I have sufficient energy, time, skills, and resources to do this thing? And the last question I ask myself is, will this thing, wherever it is, help me to strengthen my family or other personal relationships? And it has to be yes to all of those in order for me to give an honest yes to whatever that thing is. So again, do I want or need to do it? Do I have enough energy, time, skills, or other resources to do it? And will it help me strengthen my relationships? So that's how I've set up a system for myself to say yes and no to things appropriately. All right, so how's it going to help me be more productive? So the to-do list is super easy to create. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's easy to see and to sort through everything. And you can modify it and mark it done. It's like pretty, because it's such a simple system and easy to do, it's just makes it easier to actually get things done. Our to-do list is a lot easier to see. Yes, you do have to carry a book with you. And it might be hard to get used to at first, but it really, I mean, I'm home most of the time, so I just leave it on the counter and then reflect back and forth to it throughout the day. And I take it with me in the car and throw it in my bag. More productive and more joy and gratitude. So as you're like doing these things and seeing the things that you're accomplishing, it's like really fulfilling. Like you can see that you've like lived the day well. And if you have those gratitude lists to reflect on and add to each day, it just helps. Like gratitude just brings happiness. And so I recommend a gratitude list. So that is bullet journaling in a nutshell. Now, the next several slides I'm going to show you, I have to laugh a little bit. This is because I try to say my life is an open book, and literally I'm going to open my book to you guys right now. So my last four journals, I'm going to just show you how my application of bullet journaling has morphed over the years. So this journal right here was from April 2015 to April 2019. So roughly 4 years working in this journal. It was a lined journal. So, but I didn't know about bullet journal. So I had a lined journal when I first heard about bullet journaling, and I wasn't ready to just give up this book and buy a new book. I was like, well, I'll just do what I can with the lines, whatever. And a word about lines versus bullets. So the lines are great if all you want to do is write text, but the bullets make it a lot more versatile, where you can draw your own lines if you want lines or draw pictures. It opens up a lot more possibility to make it exactly what you need it to be. Whereas I feel like the lines are almost like a cage, like limiting what you can do. When I first started here, or when I first heard about it, I started trying to do a habit tracker. And this is like my goals that I set for myself. And by the way, so I don't know if you can see this, this is January 2019, a full year by the way, before the Children and Youth Program came out, I was already using Luke 252 to set goals, but don't want to brag about myself. Anyway, just saying, I started keeping track of my goals. I color coded each area of improvement that I was working on and then did little initials for each specific goal in those areas that I was working on. So as I made efforts in those goals, I would mark it on the appropriate day. So that's kind of how I started with the line journals. I started habit tracking. Then I knew that I wanted to journal more regularly because I would every once in a while write in my journal or take notes about conferences and things in my journal, but I wasn't like every day writing in my journal. And I wanted to record the things because I knew it was important. So I started filling in all these pages with writing prompts. And these writing prompts I got from actually Family Search, all kinds of questions that spark, you know, a writing entry. So I took these pictures the other day. Most of these pages are still blank, unfortunately. So I still need to like go back and answer these questions, but I can do that because I still have my book and I can answer questions as I have time. So that's one way I started using it. And I tried drawing pictures in it, but it looked kind of weird with the lines. And I tried making big quotes in it, but again, it looked kind of weird with the lines. But yeah, there you have it. That's how I was using, kind of trying to apply bullet journaling in my lined book. My next book, I decided to actually get one that had the dots in it. It didn't have any pre-printed page numbers yet, so I had to handwrite those in. But I did start my first table of contents. And I also used colors and things to enhance my note-taking during conference sessions and things. I always put the name of the speaker in blue and my notes are in black. And that's just the system that I've created for myself. You can certainly do whatever you like and whatever makes you happy. I modified my habit tracking page so that I just use colors. I'm no longer using initials. I'm just using colors and marking it. I have several months shown here, but that's how I modified it for this book. I also included a gratitude list in this book. And then my next book, it still didn't have any page numbers printed, so I still had to handwrite them. And I had an index. But it was this book that actually really started trying to do the bullet journaling method, in that I made a future log. And I also did my monthly log. And again, there's my habit tracker. Again, it's modified a little bit just to reflect that 1 month. All those colors represent a different goal that I was working on. And then I also started the daily rapid logging. And I also, for a little while, was keeping track of my goals on each individual day and transferring it to that month spread. But I think I have since discontinued that. So it's totally flexible. If it's not working, try something different. Oh, I wanted to point out on this next page. So I have a little journal entry there at the top. And then I started my task list again right after that. So just to show you, it really doesn't matter if the tasks are all at the beginning of the day or what. Like, you can just, it's just a constant flow of thought, essentially, throughout the day. You can put tasks anywhere. And then I also had a few other collections or lists that I was keeping track of. This one shows mindfulness activities that I enjoy or like, and also a few date ideas. That went on for a few pages, but I'm only showing the first page on this one. All right. And then finally, my current journal, the page numbers on this one, I made sure to get page numbers printed on this one because I was like, I'm so tired of writing in all these page numbers. So I have one, the page numbers are printed on this one, and it also had an index pre-printed. So I was pretty excited about that. It also has, I don't know if you can see it real well, but right here on the side, you can see there is a little pen hold. It's like a little loop for a pen. So I like that. And then an elastic closure, which I like too. So it had it pre-printed. And then I switched. So I used to do the dailies, like every day I would start a new thing. But then I was like, I kind of want to see my whole week at once. So I started planning at the beginning of the week for the next week by putting the full spread on there. And you can see I have my meal planning box on there, my special symbol on there for meals. And I could see it all at once. But I found it to be kind of crowded on just one page. So I switched over to a 2-page week spread. And I add to these as necessary throughout the week as my plans change or whatever. And you'll notice I took a picture specifically of this one because of how my meal plan switched throughout the week. I have like these circled and lines and things crossed off. It's kind of a mess. And that's okay. Like, I think it's okay to show the organic nature of our lives. Like, that really was a messy week for me, and it's reflected in my journal. And so that's why I think it's important that we use pen and not pencil, because if we always are writing and erasing things, it's not showing real life. Okay, so yeah, so use pen and not pencil, just to show that this is life and it's real and things change, but we can work with that and we can be flexible. All right, the other thing I started doing was adding these little page markers, these flags, and I think I got them from like the Dollar Tree. This is almost all used up, but, and I don't know if you can see it or not on my video, but I just have a few of them left on this particular one. But I started using those on the pages that I'm referring to a lot. One is on my monthly spread where I keep track of my habits. And then the other one is like on my current day so that I can flip back and forth, because sometimes like I have my flag there, but I'm also writing on the pages after that for my journaling. So it's a lot easier to flip back. And this particular book only has one bookmark ribbon. So it's, the flags help me to do that. And in case you're curious, I also added this little black circle and this little white circle. In case you're wondering what that means, those are the phases of the moon, because I'm trying to be more aware of what natural rhythms are happening around me. And I use that for different things. But anyway, in case you're curious what those extra marks were. So just a quick review. So these are my last four books. So the first one I had for about 4 years. That was my lined one. And then the next one was about a year and 4 months, because I wanted to start journaling more. And then the next one, I started bullet journaling kind of mid, I guess it was like about 2 months before I finished that book, I decided to start bullet journaling. And so I finished that whole book in a year. So with my current book, I'm almost out of pages, and it's been about 6 months. So you can see how quickly you can go through these books, but it's okay. Like, it, you can go through them as fast or as slow as you want. And then I just want to touch on some of the tools. So we talked about some of these things a little bit. We have the bullet journal itself, right? I highly, highly, highly recommend getting the ones, the dot grids, because they're more versatile than what lines will do for you. Also, get ones that have the page numbers already printed, unless you really like handwriting all the page numbers. I don't. So I recommend that. You can also have the ones with the pen holder or not. Some of them have like pockets in the back of the book, like this one I have now. Like, if you want to keep little keepsakes, I don't know what you'd want to keep back there, but there are pockets if you want to add things in the pockets. And then pens. I like to use colors. You don't have to use colors, but I like to use colors to help me organize things a little bit better. So I use it for my habit tracking. I use it for when I'm note taking for different things, or sometimes I like to draw pictures. I think the important thing is to try to get pens that are water-based and won't bleed through the pages or smudge. So that's why I recommend for the pens. And then we also have, these little things are representative of washi tape. Like, some people like to use washi tape to like make borders or dividers or whatever to make it a little bit prettier without a lot of effort. So there's washi tape. And again, these little flags for the pages. And then I don't use these. I haven't used them at least anyway, but book darts, they're kind of like, they're little things that like slip onto the edge of the page. They're made out of metal and they just kind of hug the edge of the page. So it makes it kind of easier to find things. I have never used them before. I might have to get some and check it out. This particular image came from Amazon. So you can order it there. But yeah, book darts are a handy thing. All right, so here are a few tips and reminders where all of my week was on one page and it was kind of a mess and there really wasn't any white space. So I created more white space by doing it on two pages. But again, it's good to have white space. And I say that because we all need moments of rest and reflection. And if we see that our pages are getting too full too fast, then we probably need to slow down a bit. Because I think that scheduling in moments of rest and reflection is just as important as scheduling in the grocery shopping and getting kids to their appointments and whatever. So I definitely recommend pausing sometimes. I have legit written in the word breathe as a task on multiple days. So it's okay to do that too. So you can start using whatever book you have right now. It doesn't have to have the dots. It doesn't have to have the index or page numbers already printed. Just use whatever you're using right now. If you choose to do the rapid logging, I recommend that you write in it each morning or night or reflect on it those times every day. And then, of course, throughout the day, just to make sure that you're being intentional and actually doing those things that you had intended to do. And if all of this seems like way too overwhelming, it's okay. Like you saw in my journal, I didn't do it all at once. I slowly integrated things throughout the last few years. So if there's something that from this presentation that really struck you and you're like, I want to try that, then try that one thing. Like don't try to do it all at once because we certainly don't want you to feel overwhelmed and get burnt out. Just choose one thing and start with that. And make it your own. Your journal is not going to look like anybody else's. And even your first journal is not going to look like your most recent journal. It's going to change and adapt according to your needs and your season and what you are involved in. There is absolutely no right or wrong way to do this. So hopefully that is encouraging. The bottom line, and this is from Rachel Wilkerson Miller in her book again, she said, the bottom line, do whatever you want. It's yours to do what you want. And I wanted to point out, I'm going to finish up a few minutes early, so there's plenty of time for questions. These are a few resources, though. Again, the books that I mentioned, The Bullet Journal Method, Track the Past, Order the Present, Design the Future by Ryder Carroll. And he also has a website. So I put up there his website, bulletjournal.com/pages/learn, because there's a lot of like the basics on that particular page, but you can certainly check out any of the rest of his website for ideas and more information, because he's the mastermind behind this method. There's also the community for bulletjournal.com. And I haven't personally used this service, but I think it's like a paid subscription thing where you can, I think they have like regular meetings every month where everybody gets together and they do their monthly logging together and they share spreads with each other and give each other support and ideas of how they can make the system work for them. So if that's of interest to you to have some more hands-on, like how do I make this work? That might be a good resource for you. And again, Rachel Miller's book, Dot Journaling, A Practical Guide, How to Start and Keep the Planner, To-Do List, and Diary, that'll actually help you get your life together. So it's a very simple book. It's not very long, but she's got some fantastic spread ideas that are not Pinterest overwhelming. So I definitely recommend that book. I got mine from the library, so check out your library. Oh, and I think it's on Kindle. Or what is that? No, Libby. If you have the library app Libby, it's on there too for some libraries, not all libraries, but some have that one. and where to get your dot grid journals. So some of like the box stores you can find them at are Barnes & Noble. I think I got my most recent one from Barnes & Noble. I've got some past ones at Hobby Lobby before. Michael's probably has them. Staples and Target are also good options. And of course, our friend Amazon has pretty much everything under the stars. That is my presentation. And we can take questions in here if you want, or we can move to the breakout room. I'm fine either way. We're done just a little bit early. Okay, is there such thing as a digital bullet journaling? Okay, so yes and no. There might be apps I haven't explored yet that might be like full-on digital bullet journaling, but I haven't looked into that or explored that much, so I don't really know. But Ryder Carroll's website, if you link, there's a link on there somewhere for Bullet Journal Companion, I think is what it's called. So the way that companion works is it's more of a way to, like, if you don't have your book with you, you can add a quick note on there so that you can later transfer it to your book. So it's not meant to be like a full-on bullet journal on your phone. There might be apps out there like that. I haven't explored that personally, so I can't really answer that. But I highly recommend the book, even though it's kind of a pain to carry it around. I think the actual act of writing things out does something in our brain to help us internalize things a little bit better. But I don't know, you could probably do a little search and see if there's an actual app that functions the same way. Do you use this for homeschooling? I mean, I use this for my life, and homeschooling is a part of my life. So yes, I use it for homeschooling. Maybe I don't understand that question. Maybe you need to clarify a little bit more. My boys have their own bullet journals. My older son's not using it so much right now. He has a different planner that he's working through right now. But my younger son, he has a bullet journal, and I don't have it right now. But it's actually a really thin one. It came in like a pack of three from Hobby Lobby that's like super thin and kind of flimsy. But he uses it every day. He writes down all of the tasks that he needs to get done for the day, all the assignments that he needs to complete. He marks them done. He puts his chores on there that he needs to get done for the day. All the assignments, he writes it down. So my children have their own books that they're keeping track of their own assignments. So I'm not keeping track of their assignments in my book. I'm just keeping track of the things that I need to do. So if I put my piano lessons in there when I'm teaching piano lessons, or books that I'm reading for different classes and different homeschool groups that I'm doing, I put that in there. And the next question was, do you have a personal journal separate from the daily journal? No, all of mine is in one spot. I feel like I have one brain, so I just have one book. This is my brain helper. Whatever I can't remember goes in here, and I carry one thing around with me. I don't want to carry around a bunch of things with me.
I've been sick, so my voice is kind of froggy, so excuse me. But I used to bullet journal for a long time, and this has kind of inspired me to go and pull out my journals, kind of see where did I leave off from. And my last entry was almost a year ago, and which is horrible. Life happens. Last year was a bad year, but there's so much pages left in the book still. But I'm kind of thinking, maybe I should just start fresh. Do you think I should just start with a completely new book, or just kind of pick up where I left off? What would you do?
If it were me, I would just pick up where I left off, because I don't like to waste. So I like to just fill in every single page I can. If it were me, I would want to just pick up where I left off, but it's you. You decide what's more important to you. Would you rather start fresh with a new book, or would you rather just pick up where you left off and just mark it in your index, you know, where your next future log is or whatever? Like, it's totally up to you. It's your book, your world. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.